You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The UFC is back at it in Sydney, Australia. UFC 293, the pay-per-view you've been waiting for. Pre-game preview.
Well, you go have a beer.
Oh, God, stop.
Nightmare blunt rotation.
We're back where we belong doing a pre-game preview. We can't get up on the roof today, so what I wanted was a little remix to the set. Some mood lighting, maybe stand us up, spin it around, because at the end of the day, men will talk real talk like men do.
Look at that kid.
Yeah, that's Reggie Jackson. He's defined my life.
I just want those men to just look a little different, be a little more comfortable, maybe be a little bit edgy.
Like something's gonna give, and I'm a little bit angry.
It's a bummer you're not feeling good.
You know,
I can tell though, looks, I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, you are either
high,
yeah,
sick,
yep,
sleep deprived.
That's right.
Or guzzling Pepto-Bismol. These are the four
modes
I've
think
seen.
All, can you be all?
Some of those, yeah. Some of
the Pepto has, like, played no role in my life these days. So that part I've fixed.
Hey, we should probably
I'm starting drinking. That was very good. Brian Campbell got full-blown AIDS.
On Saturday, September 9th, and maybe you can call it September 10th if you live down under, the UFC is back at it in Sydney, Australia. Well, that's a knife, right? UFC 293, the pay-per-view you've been waiting for, and the return of middleweight champion Israel Adesanya. I felt as co-host of the award-winning Morning Combat in this great vehicle we do called Pre-Game Preview that I should acquire the three greatest minds in mixed martial arts. Luke Thomas, Chuck Mindenhall back at it. UFC 293 with the only caveat, Luke, the only one, that you would dig deep within yourself, look in the mirror, and speak with real talk.
Yeah.
Like men do.
Nightmare blunt rotation. Look at this. Look at. I mean, you know, the Brits use the word geezers. I don't exactly know the way they mean it, but I have a feeling it's this, dude. Three motherfucking geezers.
Oh, man.
I mean, look, not a thing cool look about this picture except the set.
This guy includes himself on one of the greatest minds in MMA. So
yes,
three of us.
Yes,
includes
I did
himself.
Sneak that in. Thank
and then you call me a geezer. I haven't had a chance to talk yet.
What's up? Right.
What's up,
good.
What's up, guys? What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From
thanks for having me back.
By way of Colorado, as
yes,
you pronounce
correct.
It. Right? You do that Colombia? Chicago thing that
yeah.
people do.
Connecticut is a shithole. Can we be honest?
Wait, there's two Connecticut guys over here. I mean, and obviously, if you're looking
nobody
at us,
likes
yes, it
this,
is.
Nobody likes this material, and I want you all to know I understand that, and I don't care.
Well,
gonna,
here's the deal.
I'm going to
so,
keep doing it.
You
normally,
can't even offend those people in Connecticut.
Normally, we would fill this space, Chuck, as you already know, with great fight talk, great
yeah.
banter, great breakdown and predictions. But one of the enduring themes about UFC 293, we can't lie during this tumultuous 2023 calendar year. This card ain't deep, brother. It ain't deep at all. It is top heavy to the tits.
Yeah.
Chuck, can you give me an opening grade on 293?
D plus, C minus, something like that. I mean, some of the fights may end up being okay. Like, you look at them and then you see the potential, but in terms of name value,
right.
hype, things like that, it's not too good.
Where are you on the idea about how the UFC kind of managed this card where they didn't have a headliner till late? They wanted, obviously, to be Drickus with Whitaker, and I actually did an interview with the Submission Radio guys, and they brought up a point. It's like, should the UFC have done the Whitaker-DDP fight in 293? It would have diminished one card, but... Dude, this card could have used that.
That's true.
They could have used that
yeah.
fight.
I mean, we look,
a lot more sense.
We've been extra critical for a lot of things UFC this year, but we always perk back up when the fights deliver. International Fight Week delivered. UFC 291 in Salt Lake City had some big moments. We're just coming off a big pay-per-view. Could this card overachieve? Yeah, they all could. They all could. Even all those
yeah.
in-between fight nights that have been crappy this year. But on paper, this one, I know you got UFC Noche 2 weeks later. On paper, this ain't, or maybe 1 week later. On paper, this just ain't great, Chuck.
It's not, and I'm not sure that Strickland is the guy you want in there. I think he's been in, what, five different five-round fights, and four of them have won the full five rounds. So you can see the path. And remember, Israel Adesanya, before he had this Alex Padetta series, was starting to get accused of being a little boring, too. Like, he has,
you know,
a bunch
but by
of...
one bald member of the media, Chuck.
So we'll see. Okay. You know, we'll see.
It is about Adesanya. It is about his return.
I was going to ask, though, like, what is it, the main reason this fight the main event or the card underdelivers on what grounds to you? Specifically, what about it?
I could see a scenario, although I think that Strickland is a forward guy, like he's a pressure guy, he's going to bring the fight. If it turns into one of those things where Izzy is waiting to counter the whole time or something like that, where it's just being reluctant to engage, kind of like the Cannoneer thing or, you know, those type of fights, I could see it.
Kind of like Shevchenko in the Carmouche rematch, where she was just if you're going to fight that way, I'm just willing to go 25 minutes with you and take home the W.
That one played out like if you were throwing punches in an arrow and right about here.
We certainly don't want that. So we can blame DDP for this fight with Strickland right now happening, although I don't hate the fight style-wise. Like, it's going to be somewhat interesting from Strickland's obnoxious, you know, usually rapport in the build to a fight toward fight night. But should we also blame another man for this fight happening right now? Not a plane, a train, or an automobile, a bus. Abus Magomedov. He didn't necessarily lay an Aldana Gon-size egg in that fight, but it was a little shocking that he got railroaded in the way he did, and that catapulted, with good timing, Strickland to the top, to the title. Here we are.
I think all of this plays. Don't you think? I mean, when you look at all the potentials that could have happened, you end up kind of getting a consolation, I feel like, in this situation. You already mentioned DDP, like, that might have been the fight that people – that was the one that was in the imagination first. I think Sean Strickland, it feels a little bit like he's a mandatory in a weird way because he's there and he's the guy. And I think that the lack of competitive nature, I think a lot of people kind of see it like Vegas does, which is that Sean Strickland probably won't put up much of a fight. You know what I mean? So I think when you factor all that in, some of the luster comes off of from the pay-per-view like general buzz that you get from them.
I think for me, BC, the way I look at it is there are some good parts about it, but the biggest thing that I think undercuts it is like these two were never on a collision course. They clashed at press conferences, but they were up to this point categorically in like pretty different parts of the division. Izzy as the champion, or, you know, obviously only in title fights, and Sean like on his way up, but, you know, having setbacks that were noteworthy as well. But he stays active. He like does UFC solids. He fights at the Apex. He's reliable to like short notice, and he is a technically proficient fighter. I think for the most part, he's a good fighter. He's a fighter certainly worthy of a lot of respect. But I think, like, when I just, like, look at this fight, it's like, I literally am not even sure, like, what path he could take to win. I genuinely, you know, put up a fight, yes, but win? I honestly don't know what that would be.
Off the top, he got here by the fact that Izzy has already cleaned out this division, like, kind of multiple times. So there's a lack of fresh opponents. He also got here because they gave him somewhat of a soft tune-up, get-well fight against Abus Magomedov. And to Strickland's advantage, he railroaded him. He took him out of there. He absolutely broke him and finished him. But do you feel like because Izzy came out publicly and said, well, for this fight to actually happen, Strickland had to agree with the UFC not to embarrass the brand. One thing that know that we'll typically get, well, if Strickland eventually faces Adesanya, at least we'll get a crazy build. If we don't get a crazy build, is this entire thing a failure?
Oh, I don't know if it will be a failure like that. Well, first of all, didn't the fight sell out? They did not sell out before they even knew who the headliner was.
I mean, UFC just, no matter what, seems to have strong ticket demand wherever they go.
So it's in a strange way, I'm like, it depends on what we want to consider a failure. Will it be a dud? It could be. But I think it would be more based on the way the fight plays out than the lead up. I don't know. What are you expecting from this type of build up? Like, what could
everyone I know is like, can't wait for the press conference.
Yeah.
Everyone I know is saying that.
What do people want to see? Because if we kind of criticize Strickland for almost being over the line, over the threshold of taboos.
One
and
toke over the line.
Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah. People hate that I argue this line, but tell me it's wrong in this particular case. At a bare minimum, people want to see Sean Strickland for reasons I don't fully. Just whatever, but they exist. But they want to see him sling arrows at Izzy. They want to see him verbally get taken down a peg or two. But I think most people realize, skill for skill, you know, this is a tough challenge for Sean Strickland.
Well, Strickland's got to play his role. And I know that's a cloudy statement to make because this is not pro wrestling. You are, though, required to sell a fight. Even if Strickland has limitations based on like UFC saying, if we're going to put you in the marquee and you ever want to have a chance to, you know, fight, to be a star here, don't do this and this. And to, hopefully he won't. But he needs to say all that stuff. Question Izzy's toughness. Question his resume. Question all this shit. Try to get in his head so that if he does get splattered, which is the better's expectations, that's sort of the full cycle of a fight, right? You pay to see the villain get taken in some way.
Are you? I want to ask you guys this because you seem to both agree that Strickland's in over his head here. Do you give him any shot? Like, basically, I think that his thing is to break you. We just mentioned that last fight.
Yeah.
You don't think he can break a guy like this, mentally strong as Izzy, and then style wise, you get into the styles of the fight. Like, you don't think that he brings anything to the table,
dude. And also, there's a big gap in footwork ability between the two.
Yeah.
Like a big gap, a big gap. And what did we just come off of? UFC 292 or Aljamain Sterling. We talked to Matt Frivola today, like whenever people will see, it's no big deal. But yeah, so we just should just be honest on certain levels, even if you want to respect Sean Strickland's fighting abilities, we're not asking you to care about anything else, just his actual fighting abilities. They're strong, but even then, the things he relies on, dude, I mean, just think about it. There's basically two gears he can play, right? People killed him for the Pereira angle because he was driving in on a guy and using his hands for defense. He has this kind of style. What is he? This way. So he has this one hand up, and he kind of holds this one around here. And you see him bring his hands up and, like, try to catch with a lean and whatnot.
Is it almost a shoulder roll? Almost?
A little bit. There's a little bit going on. But the point I'm trying to make is he transfers defense a lot. Like, the movement is all part of it. And Poatan got him to do it. Like, what makes you think Izzy could not do exactly the same, but take advantage of the same kind of... That's exactly what he specializes in. Traps, tricks.
Is it the Alex Pereira fight, though? Say that didn't exist and they're going into this fight. Would you feel different about Strickland? I feel like that's the one fight that we circle, because most of his fights, even the split decision, was very close.
Because he hasn't redeemed that yet.
He's not a bad fighter. He's a good fighter.
But to be honest, he hasn't redeemed what the loss to Poatan meant, which is means you're stepping up to the fight before that level. Look, Strickland got this fight by timing. DDP not being available. Abus Magomedov not being, and then the timing of just getting the call. But if you believe that Strickland doesn't have much of a chance here, then he almost has to just play the crazy villain to give this card what it needs.
Man.
Because is this as weak as a pay-per-view card could be top to bottom? I know it's in a lot of ways playing to the Oceanic region. There's a lot of local fighters on there. Carlos Ahlberg's great looks are going to get showcased
He's putting together a respectable record.
And he's on a nice run. That's one of the rare sort of, like, I got to watch
they
that
fight. They always kind of bury him. He's at least on the main card, right?
I'll double check, but I believe that's correct.
Forever.
They haven't identified that yet.
He wasn't even part of the showcase,
But I do think the UFC views him as a priority. I think they're just a little bit cautious.
Okay,
after some early setbacks.
But we need Strickland then to do his role and help selling the fight. Is there any access, though, or not access, is there any chance, is really what I'm saying, that because the DDP upset of Robert Whittaker opened this door to the likelihood that DDP and Izzy would happen, and then suddenly it's the who's the real African champion, all this hype. Is this a trap fight? Is there any elements of this that could be a trap fight?
I feel that a little bit, but it's really because Izzy just got through going through a series against a guy who I think put a lot of doubt on his name, took his belt, he had to go get it back. Obviously, he did that in spectacular fashion, but you always wonder about that because you have now the hype escalation and everything else. He's going home. There's a lot of things going on in his life. He hasn't struck me as the kind of guy who loses focus, but at the same time, they're always kind of trap fights. When there's a guy that you're watching for in the future and you just got through something really big in the past.
Carlos
Ahlberg is on the prelims.
Oh, man.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, here's how I explain that. Is like a true professional, a champion, somebody like Izzy who has all these defenses and he's decorated, they're almost like responsible enough to never have an off night. Or if they have an off night, they can repair it and not let it turn to disaster. But the reality is, I just don't believe, no matter how dedicated you are, that preparing to fight Robert Whittaker or preparing to fight whomever compared to somebody like Strickland, who's not quite there, but dangerous enough, but not quite that threat.
Yeah.
It's just like anytime there's an opponent change, it has to change the level of intensity that you were once preparing for, that you're used to. So that opens the doors for trap fights or big upsets to happen. But does anything in Strickland's makeup, the kind of upset that Juliana Pena had against Amanda, I guess in theory could happen to anybody. Amanda didn't have a great training camp. She got overwhelmed by the offense. She got worn down. She got exhausted. She got submitted. It happened. Okay?
Yeah.
Short of a disaster for Izzy, does Strickland actually have the game that if this was the trap night? Remember, Yoel Romero at least had the threat of the strike, but Izzy was I had a difficult time picking him up, and it was closer than it should have been, maybe. Is there any element
I feel like the best would almost be like Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Peña in the first fight, where basically, whatever reason, Izzy is just not there. Like you're saying, he's just not there fully, gets heavy work early, and somehow it starts going downhill and he can't recover. And suddenly he's just in deep water. That's the only way I can see it, where somehow he's getting hit with stuff and he just doesn't have it, you know? But I don't foresee it. We haven't seen evidence that he will do that kind of fight, you know?
He's
what I mean?
The kind of guy who walks you down. He literally just walks you down, cross-stepping the whole way. He does other kinds of things with his footwork, but where does he do his KOs? Like all of his, you know, he makes people like work a lot. And then it's along the fence line. That's where he finishes guys off. He's a fence line guy. Dude, like that's hard to trap Izzy in places like that. Yeah. It's not easy.
What would be your equivalent? Like, obviously, like in the middleweight division, the history of the middleweight division, you've had another champion, Anderson Silva. Where would you put, like, what would be the equivalent of this challenge?
Dave Manet. Dave Manet.
So the Patrick Cote, like, the Patrick Cote one.
I was going to say, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But the difference was Patrick Cote could bang. He had good power.
Okay. Is this is the answer Talis Lightest or the submission guy who missed weight? He's a coach.
Travis
Luter?
Luter. Travis Luter.
Well, Travis Luter actually is he's not the Michael Jordan of grappling, but he is a very, very good grappler.
No, I'm not saying that you get to a title level, you're legit in some form.
Yeah.
But really, we're not giving him a chance, right? Yeah. We're not giving him a chance.
So I think the way I look at it is, if Izzy is not on his A game, I think anything's possible. But if he is on his A game, I just don't see what how there could be a deciding factor for him. I don't know what that would be.
We get a drink update. I was doing coffee to start because I'm old and I wanted to. But now I've got the IPA in there from that you're drinking the same thing.
Good,
Luke's on the water and Delta 9s.
Aguita, parcero. Aguita.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been able to tell. I'd say that much.
Just to show the evolution of our bodies, as now we can barely even stomach the alcohol that used to be the foundation of this segment and this gimmick that we do.
Yeah, it started off as supposed to be a tailgate. What happened?
What happened to us is probably the bigger question. What happened
pathetic,
to us?
Pathetic, dude. We're pathetic fucking sacks of shit.
You know, it's that TRT thing.
What are we doing? I'm just wasting this. Just sit on the needle. Seriously, dude.
Drop the vape and pick up the needle.
I'll tell you what, right? When I was on vacation, dude, it was so fucking humid that I never had to use nasal spray the entire time I was there.
Wow.
It was like, I was like 4 days in. I was like, dude, I haven't even fucking used it, man.
Contemplating a move.
It was heavy.
Remember you told me 3 years ago you were so addicted to the vape that you would have one in the mouth and one in the nose when you were like,
I did not tell you that. These are lies.
One in the ear.
These are lies.
Sat on one and it was grabbing that much, you know.
Brian Campbell can be reliably counted on to steer the conversation to buttholes, specifically the penetration of them.
Yeah, it's the Kevin Bacon type thing.
If this is what it is on paper, which is a stay busy for Izzy. In fact, they kind of rushed this thing. It feels like they kind of rushed it and they forced it to happen.
Remember, they were waiting for his immigration, Sean Strickland's immigration status to be resolved just through the powers of government because there's an application process for the visa that he needs. We were all just kind of like waiting on the paperwork to get done. So, when you're waiting on the mail, I don't know how, like, you know, spine tingling that is as action. So it kind of had a weird, and they're here kind of accidentally.
Well, my setup was to say this would be an unexpected final hurdle to get to what has suddenly become a big fight, which would be the Dricus du Plessis fight. Are those the only two middleweights left that Izzy should face, will face?
Yes.
Where are
that's
we
it.
Yeah, on
I think
the
this
ride?
Fight, I think so. This fight, DDP, and he should move.
I think so too.
By the time he moves up, though. Could Paul Tom be holding the title? Yeah. No, right?
You know, I don't know how you guys are seeing it, but there's a little bit of a, like, so you start to make the comparisons because they're still running parallel to each other. You're talking about Pereira. He goes up, he beats Jan, right? Like, he beats, obviously, Izzy was not successful in that. Now he's going against Strickland, who Pereira already beat in the first round, and you take these comparisons, right? They feel like they're still kind of playing off each other. If he's not able to kind of do something similar, if he's not able to make it look as easy, you know what I'm saying? It starts to reflect a little bit more on Pereira.
What he's saying, Luke, is that this rivalry ain't close to being over with.
No, I don't think so.
The Pereira and I think there's life in it still. Also, like, you know, this is a huge moment for Izzy. We've had this debate here a million times. How popular is he? Yeah. I really believe we have to say out loud, again, my bias is well known here.
You love the guy.
Well, he turned a corner with that win over Alex. Like, this is highest his popularity has 100%. Ever been. I feel like he leveled up with that. I'm not saying he's Sean O'Malley. I don't know. I'm not saying that. But I am saying it felt to me, Chuck, as a skeptic or someone who's a little bit like, He leveled up, yeah?
He did. I think the whole thing boosted him. There was so much, and I think that this is necessary at some point. I mean, it's kind of like the Anderson Silva with Chael Sonnen coming around. You have to have a guy who's going to drag it out of you, right? Like, it's going to be, there has to be a guy that adds doubt to the scenario. And he got the guy, and it actually played out perfectly for him. Takes the belt. They have to do it again. Everything being written about, what you doing over here? Everything being written about.
That's how I use the bathroom.
He's taking a little spot in
Istanbul.
Yeah. All right.
Remember, I had to pay one lira for one piece of the phone book to go take it down.
Yes, but everything being written about him was basically like, this guy has his number, and it could end up being the Alex Pereira story in the end, because if he wins that last fight, all of a sudden you're like, no, this is just his trajectory we're watching, and he's the one running off
with it. That's the best.
He freaking wins it, knocks him out, and then it's like, here we are, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think his stock went way up. It's just it's a human interest.
And also, too. BC, last thing on this, Sean Strickland, you could say what you want about the necessity of the Magomedov fight or, you know, whether that was the right one to make. Dude, I'm not saying that Magomedov is a pushover. That's not my argument. But for a guy like Strickland, that was not super difficult work in general. You had to be careful, but it was not. It was as close as you're going to get to a tune-up fight. You know, and he's taken that right into this fight.
That's
like,
true.
I do believe he's going to be very ready for this, highly motivated. And as much as I've been dismissive of it, you know, there's been times where, like, you just don't imagine this is the guy that's going to beat the man in this division. Like, you just couldn't believe it. It happens when you least expect it.
Is it a nightmare scenario if Sean Strickland goes to Australia, wins that belt, and suddenly you have this awkward champion who could embarrass the country?
And then, dude, it, like, insults the country.
He better.
I mean, seriously.
If he wins it, he better not consider a babyface turn and be like, you know.
Oh, my God.
He should totally Bernard Hopkins in Puerto Rico.
Could he have, like, a Colby Covington Brazil moment, which was controversial and to a lot of people gross, but nevertheless, it put him on the map, for better or for worse. It did.
You Aussies are savages. That's what it is.
They say no, like, no. You ever notice that? No. I don't know why they do that. It's like N-A-U-R.
It would be one of the more unpredictable outcomes tonight. But we should season ourselves. We should. To the idea that this is happening more often than not. The big upset. Pena over Nunes. Yeah. Usman losing to Leon. And not losing a second time, by the way. Maybe it's not, I don't know, is that a monster upset? Well, yeah, the method that Leon did it, fifth round head kick, yes. Poatan just walking in off the streets suddenly and becoming the champion and knocking out Adesanya. It does happen.
I fear that it would deliver a blow to Izzy's, whatever this thing is, the sheen of, it's not invincibility because we've seen him lose, but there's the sheen of cool that he carries. Like, it would somehow, that would be a rough one. To lose this one in Australia, and also you just got a rematch with the other guy, you know, and you're able to get through him. I don't know how they would play that, but it's just, it derails so many plans if
it
that
would
happens.
Be, yeah. I mean, I think that Izzy's time at 185, provided he keeps winning, is super limited. I think he wants that opportunity at 205 again, and for it to go differently. He's been bulking up slowly over the years. Yeah. As I've seen him over the years, he's getting a little bit bigger. You know, and I think he learns valuable lessons from the fight with Blachowicz. I think the Blachowicz that Pereira fought was good, but not quite the same Blachowicz. In any case, I do think it'd be devastating. But in either way, I feel like 205 is calling. If he were to lose, you could almost consider that to be like the decision.
Just getting pushed from
down. Just go do something fresh. Because what are you going to say? He can't rebound from difficulty? Like, we know for a fact he can absolutely go to that place.
Yeah, 34 years old is Izzy. This would be shooting for his fourth title defense, obviously the first defense of his second reign. For Strickland, it wasn't just straight from Poatan to Abus to here. In between, he lost a split decision to Cannonier. In between, he came back and won a decision over Imavov. So, look, short of the disaster and the catastrophe in the early cut, or Izzy, you know, has a Weidman leg crack, or just, you know, whatever. I mean,
he's an efficient striker. Short of that, I don't think he can.
Can
land
we
with
get
volume.
A game plan to victory that would shock us, that might surprise us? Not Ngannou wrestling Gon that no one saw coming.
Except for you, is that what?
Yeah, I did see that one. Woodley Till was also a big hit in my house. Yeah. You know, remember that time I put $20 on the draw of Golovkin Canelo won because I knew it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I remember. Yes,
that was a good time. So what I'm really saying is let's carve a path.
I think honestly that it would have to happen the way I just said, where he kind of hurts him in some kind of exchange. He does put a lot of volume. He's a high volume guy in your face. Guy, and I think if he's able to effectively do that, the thing is, the guy he's going against punishes aggression so well that I'm like, I don't see him doing this. But for whatever reason, if he goes charging there and lands something and hurts him, overwhelms him. I could see a scenario there where he just hurts him and maybe
he's not the same
at that point.
What if it's the type of dedicated...
Defecation.
Defecating. Wow. Right, what if it's the type of... I am drinking now, so I have an excuse. What if he targets the legs of Adesanya? And sometimes, even among elites...
Dude, who has he put out with leg kicks?
Well, here's what I'm saying, though. It's not about putting out. It's about leveling. Leveling the playing
field. Isn't it about putting out? I thought
You're talking about Izzy, like the dude who's like one of the most proficient and effective leg kickers in the fucking game.
Yeah, I know who he is. This is about leveling the playing field. Ways that Strickland could be in this fight in non-overly dramatic ways.
Can he survive long enough
to carry out a plan like
that? I think
that.
He can survive a plan. I don't think he can be a guy who can just survive and win.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that. He has to take risk. He has to really crowd him, really kind of go for it. And that's a highly risky style.
Four times all the way through five rounds. I mean, there's something to be said that he's had the experience of the deeper rounds, and I think he won three, and the only one he lost was the split decision. And he outstruck him by like 30 strikes in that fight. He's certainly shown that he can hang around.
But it's a certain kind of guy. He just walks down.
That's true.
He just rolls with punches. He catches them.
He's not
going
to catch Izzy with 180 strikes like he did Uriah Hall or Imabov. He's not going to be able to do that.
Remember the leg kicks that Poatan landed on Strickland? And like he went the jab to the body is what set everything up with the hook.
Kicks that Poatan landed on Adesanya, which did play a role in catching him in their, first MMA fight.
Absolutely. But it's like, Poatan is a devastating leg kicker. Sean Strickland is a threatening one, but he would have to do a lot of work, right? It has to be accumulative.
So what superpowers is he going to lean on? Cardio?
He has fantastic cardio.
His daring nature?
To the extent it's relevant. he has outstanding defensive wrestling.
He's not going to the ground, right?
Good strike defense.
Very good strike for the most part. He has a good system that he works that is, for the most part, very effective. He is well coached. He has an experienced, excellent corner. I think that matters in close contests. I don't know that this will be one, but it can be. It certainly be a difference maker in the moment. He has a shit ton of experience. So
this is his 20th UFC
fight. This is what I mean.
This is his sixth in 2 years, I guess, since 2022.
This is not a bum. I don't love his worldviews. Not a lot of people do. But if you're just evaluating him as a fighter, he commands respect. He's good.
Yeah. Luke, will you allow his alter ego, Deshaun Strickland, who wears that black do-rag and shows up sometimes during interviews? Is that like C. Thomas Howell playing the lead role of blackface?
Well, he's carrying the Hennessy, and we're all supposed to like be like, oh, that's funny.
Let's hope he doesn't win for now. No, hey.
I want him to win and be on your room service diaries couch. Next. I want to see that. Next. That's what I want to see. Yeah.
Next, we'll see. Final thoughts on Adesanya here. You expect the stoppage. If Adesanya is the heavy favorite, he is, and he is. He's got many reasons for you to put your money in that side. Is it going to go the distance?
I think if he's on his game, he stops him inside three. Yeah.
I think so, too, because it's easy to imagine a scenario, kind of like what Pereira did with Strickland, where he just he gets goofy for 1 minute. That's all it takes is one split second at react. He goes in there and does something silly, and he gets punished, and he's down. I could see this happening, in this fight early. And I also think it does matter to Izzy on some level to perform. I don't think he really loved that three fights, those three fights with Cannonier where he's getting the decisions. I don't think he really loved that.
He was labeled by the knee jerkers as boring, as safe, as all that,
That's what the Pineda thing has revitalized, his whole, excitement level.
Commanding stoppage. Yep. There's a way he shines here as potential. But again, Sean Strickland, it's hard to see what the path is, but MMA is fucking unpredictable, and if Izzy's not really, focused, it would be madness.
Are you expecting an aggressive call out? DDP, get your shit together.
I think if he gets a big ass KO, Chuck, he's gonna say DDP and then 205. I think he's gonna say both.
Yep. I think
shit.
So too.
Oh shit. Oh shit.
I mean, the DDP one's gonna in the end, if he gets through Strickland, does it emphatically, has this home crowd, uses the mic, it ends up being a big hype machine for that fight, doesn't it? Like, it just kind of adds to that whole thing.
Yeah.
So
I thought you were doing the, in the end, it doesn't really matter. One thing, I don't know why. It doesn't really matter how hard you try. Hey, maybe
one bar leads to two, you know how it is.
Wow. Where's a home invasion shooting when you need one?
Wow. All right. Let's go to the co-main event. Maybe the only other story we're talking about on this 293 card. It is an interesting storyline of heavyweight shoe drinking, bar buzzling, big power knocking Bam Bam, Ty Tuivasa.
Let's bang.
Hey, yeah. Tui, it's Hardy, right? Let's bang, brother. So I like this. This is a tough fight. Alexander Volkov in his crosshairs. Tough fight in the situation for Tuivasa, which is two straight losses. Brutal one against Gon.
Oh, my God.
But then you package that by coming back so soon, rolling the dice. Was it Pavlovich that cleaned it up, right? We're running, coming back so soon.
Mm-hmm.
Not really thinking that decision through in my eyes, although that's who Ty Tuivasa is. Yeah. Well, you know, as Matt Frivola's Instagram says, all gas, no brakes. Yeah. That's who he is. But there's only so many times you can get knocked out in spectacularly against guys that are better than
you.
It is
worrisome.
Are we expecting some level of reinvention? Because if Ty comes out and knocks out Volkov, that's a reinvention.
Man.
But stylistically, his demeanor, maybe putting a shoe condom in or something before drinking out of somebody else's, like, soul.
What?
It's Delta 9-0.
What are you talking about?
17 first-round finishes combined with these guys.
Jesus.
So, if he's this is probably the wrong fight for him to completely reinvent himself.
This is not a good fight. great fight in terms of the potential of action. Bad fight for him.
It's a bad. It's a tough one. I know what you're saying. It's a tough rebound fight. And this is Volkov, man, being who he is, but I think it's because it's in Australia. He wants to fight in Australia. He performed there out of the gate really well. Did the shoeys and all that. But the last couple times he's been there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Didn't go his way, and right. I'm like, then you factor in kind of this, I don't know. I feel like it could be a little bit of a setup for him, but I feel like somebody's going to get – I don't feel like he's going to reinvent himself for this fight. I feel like he's going to go in there and try to win the way he wins.
All right, Luke, I want to ask you this. Ty Tuivasa, in some ways
– have full-blown AIDS.
– is mirroring a almost like a new version of Derek Lewis. And what's the biggest hit or miss on Derek Lewis? It's like if he's in shape and not and his back doesn't hurt and he tried
great
hard
in the last fight.
Then we know he can still pull in deep. Even in his late 30s, he can still pull deep, land the big knockout. He's still so athletic, powerful, all that. Is Ty Tuivasa's top tier game dangerous enough that we can go into each Tuivasa fight saying, "Well, hey, if this is the night that he put it together like Derek Lewis, anything can happen." Or does he need that reinvention? I'm teasing Luke. I mean, when you look at the game technically, is there a major hole he can work on closing up that really could lift him to true contention?
If he doesn't level up, which is possible, right? I do think he is talented. We know he's very young. He's obviously suffering some setbacks. But I do think he has shown maturation, skill development. And so if he levels up, I think it's an interesting contest. If he doesn't, like if he is who we think he is technically outmatched. He is dangerous because he can leap into position. Obviously, we know he's got tremendous KO power. Like this is a thing. But he's quite hittable for people who have great time and great accuracy and good use of range, which Volkov has really kind of turned into at this point. This is maybe the best one we've ever seen, give or take, right?
He relies a little too heavily on the, you know, the spirit and the heart. You know, like he's like, I'm going to show everybody that I can, you know, even take those punches and go through.
Like it's not,
and
this is not a Modelo commercial. This is real life, right?
It is, man. But I think that's been to his detriment. You know, it's aging him very quickly to go in there and fight that
guy. I don't know. Listen, I'm not in any way being disparaging, I hope. I don't know what his financial situation is. I don't know what were the other factors that have nothing to do with like smart decision making about what fights you take and when that could have gone into it. But he did take the fight. So that is a fact. And it was, in terms of managing his career, a really unforced error. It didn't need to happen. Again, not knowing what the broader circumstances might be.
No doubt about it. On the flip side, Volkov, here's what's interesting. Is I thought when he walked into that loss against Aspinall that it might actually be time for Volkov. And what I mean by time is he showed some great flashes. We know there's some limitations to his game. But, like, one of these days, he's still young enough. He's only 34. I thought he's going to put it together and really look like a heavyweight title contender and maybe even end up getting to that level. Then he got wiped by Aspinall. But what he's done in that same year and a half time off is a stoppage win over Rozenstrike and then that stoppage win over Romanov. Has he done enough to repair the times he has put his head above water at the elite level and come up short? Because I don't look at him as a gatekeeper in ways I look at a lot of this heavyweight division, which there is a lot of average parity in there. I think he's above that. But has he shown you enough? Because this fight may not actually show that to us, right? Because if he carries it from the outside and looks, I mean, but has he shown you enough on this comeback?
So, isn't it crazy that division, though, is so crazy? You can be, like, look at Arlovsky, how many times he's kind of down and out, and then he just kind of, all of a sudden he's right back in the conversation. I think the victory would put him back into the conversation, but I think you have some tier structure right now, you know, with the Aspinalls and the guys, so John Jones and the guys that are kind of Pavlovich, those guys. I'm not sure he enters that conversation, but maybe he's in that 4-5 range where he's right back there. So maybe he's a fight or two away from like.
I mean,
there.
He wins this. He's a phone call away if they need him.
That is
from
true,
stepping
though.
In, right?
I would say that's probably true. I mean, three in a row in this division, especially when you knock guys out like that. You know, you get the finishes. I think that bodes well for your chances if they need you. You know,
Luke, if his takedown defense can be a consistent factor, can he win the UFC heavyweight championship? Or do I just think because he kind of looks like me that there's this weird doppelganger thing going on?
Say that the win that Aspinall has over Volkov is, disqualifying of his chances of getting a belt, I think might be a little strong, but it's not a great look if you're asking about title potential, because it's not any kind of shame to lose to Aspinall. Yeah. But Aspinall just, got the submission from half guard on top, got the takedown with relative ease. Like, Volkov has really improved a lot of his physical abilities, and his technical abilities, I think, is the biggest development. But he's big and kind of plodding and, relatively speaking, a little bit slow. Think about how fast and explosive a guy like Aspinall is, and he's technical. Like, that's always going to be a hard
match. He's going to be a sliding doors guy. I have a feeling at some point you'll look at it and say, like, you remember the Derek Lewis fight? He's winning the fight, and then he just, at the very end, he's caught, he's beat.
Was that like 3 seconds left in the fight? Like, something.
And you
ridiculous.
Look at that, and you're like, man, the guy could have already been there. And then he slides, I feel like he's one of those guys, gets the penultimate spot and then just somehow doesn't get there, and then he's
That's
right
Curtis
back behind.
Curtis Blades' role, just so you know.
That's
well,
true.
Dude, he
that
pushed Curtis Blades to the absolute limits and, was overmatched wrestling, but, like, kind of proved to he is dangerous. Like, he certainly is worthy of respect. If you're asking just against the very best athletes, I do think his size limits him a little bit.
All right, what would Tuivasa have to do to really surprise us?
I don't think surprise is the word, right? But I would just, it's more than it would be nice to see him do, a real thoughtful approach, a more thoughtful approach is sort of what I would like to see. I do think that there's always a time to kind of bite down on the mouthpiece, and he's good for that, but we already know that. What I'm saying is, can he go back to what we had seen a little bit before where you thought, okay, now he's starting to put it together? I hope that is not lost. I want to see that more than anything else.
The surprising thing for me is he just doesn't take damage in getting it done, right? Because I feel like for him to get it done, he gets beat up,
Dude, that Gon fight was a biting.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he had him hurt.
Yes.
It's like he has him hurt and he could have finished that fight. It's such a roulette type of game, And if he can engage you in it, he's always got a 50-50 shot. But the guys who are a little more skilled and know how to combat that generally win that sort of
thing. And also, Gon, by the way, against Tuivasa, remember, he's going to have fast feet as well, and he's going to be able to, like, use footwork. I don't think you can expect Volkov to do in terms of the nimbleness athletically what a guy like Gon can do.
Yeah, burning them, get quick and nimble. Right?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Go
you ahead. Only know the white rappers?
Give me some Eminem.
All right. Well, Tuivasa is going to be fun to see.
Do you know who else is on this card? I mean, I don't
know. I do. Manel Copp's on this card in a flyweight bout with Felipe Dos Santos.
Unfortunately, it was supposed to be Kai Car France, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, so
that's syndrome.
This is where that card
got some bad luck. They got some bad luck. That's bad luck.
If rising stars, we're talking about Carlos Olberg.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're talking about a very good-looking man. But we're also talking about a guy that's won three in a row, including
what
two by
know,
knockout.
And this is not – it's not like – what's the kid's name they always put on the prelims in England? The 21-year-old kid. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
It's an alliteration.
Oh, Kaya. Muhammad Makaya, yes.
He it's not like he's him, but somehow they have kind of a similar trajectory. They keep getting stuck regionally in these cards. Not that I know that Olberg has fought elsewhere, but he's always kind of buried on this card. So this would have been a nice one for him to kind of be boosted up.
He actually has four wins in a row, three by knockout, and overall he's 8-1. We've only seen him fall to that knockout loss to Kennedy Njekwu.
I have the recall memory of a lobotomized chimp.
He'll be taking on Jung Da-un.
Yeah.
Should I mean put your stock in?
Kind
Goldberg.
Of.
I'm a little bit more.
This is a showcase, then, right?
Well, I'm a little bit more interested in the post fight DMs that he'll receive than than the bonus, or you know, I mean, you could. There's different kinds of bonuses, Luke. You know, the company does.
There's certain guys that there's just like little volleys. You know, I feel like this is one of those fights. You know, where there's just like, all right, go. This we're gonna slide the stake under the door. Go get it. You know.
All right. Let's pause for a second. We just had Matt Frivola in here. Spoiler alert, as we mentioned earlier on the Room Service Diaries, and he's hitting this point. You know, Chuck, where he's. He's walking in just like the chance at big fame and money. And if he gets Paddy Pimblett, holy shit. And, you know, Carlos Olberg, if he continues the win streak, he's going to be considered even at 32 as a lightweight, heavyweight prospect. But if we stumbled into a UFC run, if you were just some average Joe in your daily life, and then suddenly you're Matt Frivola and you get hot and you go on a run, Chuck, you just got to be laying pipe all over the country, right?
Yeah,
getting
just fucking.
Just, yeah. I mean, yeah. You got to, because you're going to have a window to be in that shape and be that cool. So we know Olberg's
Johnny
probably,
Walker in Scotland,
yeah,
just.
Olberg's probably got that whole island on lockdown, but if Chuck stumbled into a UFC career, I mean, you just.
I felt like Uriah Faber back in the early days when he came over to the UFC and all that, was just walking around basically like Hugh Hefner, you know, with the pajama robe. And
remember when Strikeforce had shows at the Playboy Mansion? That was
the thing. Oh, that's right.
Remember when Uriah Faber told us he never had an issue with getting ladies, so it never mattered?
Yes. Yeah, he was like, it didn't really change shit. I still get asked constantly. I was like, oh.
Like, you think could have been like a Backstreet Boy for like an hour, you could have really made that 60 minutes work for
I would have made the most of that 60 minutes. I'll say that.
Yeah, that was, you know, that's good halftime show.
Play that right, you can get a nice house in Florida.
Yeah.
You can live all right.
Ooh, yeah. Well, speaking of other fights on this card worth watching, Chuck, am I just a dick?
Yeah.
Am I just addicted to you? Yeah, that's where it is. What else do you want to say about UFC 293 or Australia or Sydney in general? Ever been, Chuck?
I've never been to Sydney. But I
No,
there's not really much else to say about the card.
All right. I mean,
I think
you got to be real at the end of the day, Luke.
Hey, listen, MMA has real volatility. You never see it coming. And it's
such a cheap thing to be like, but it could turn out to be a good card.
So
you know,
pay $84 for that?
It's true. I know. It doesn't
matter. It's always in prospect, right? It's always like you're always looking at a card when it goes in. Does it compel you to watch? I don't know that there's a lot on that. Besides that top.
We got a Justin Taffa Austin Lane rematch.
That's a rematch.
That's going to be.
Winners against Parker Porter.
Someone's going to get laid out for sure.
Jamie Mularkey and John McDessie are going
to. That's a fun scrap.
Doesn't suck.
That's a respectable scrap. Yep.
Mike Maffetta is back again. Oh, yeah. Blood Diamond against Charlie Radke. But does he win?
One other note that the Aussies put me onto, if you're just doing the math on this, is that if you look at the workload of the corner of Izzy, obviously Eugene Behrman, he is cornering six fighters on this card.
Yo.
Six fighters. And including the main event, obviously.
It's a good payday.
That's a lot of work, but that's a lot of work. And also they're doing that like inside of New Zealand or maybe Australia the day before. They have another kickboxing event, which he's also cornering a slew of fighters at. So he's doing that and then doing that the next night. Now, if anybody can do that, it's Eugene Behrman. Make no mistake about it. But my only wonder is, BC, is that too much of a workload, no matter how gifted a coach you are?
Does he have generals under him in that gym? Does he have a lot of generals that can carry?
Sure. Yeah, it seems like, from what I can tell, a well-run operation.
There's no way to check this. I don't know how you do it, but that's got to be nearing a record. I remember when Greg Jackson would be like
three or four,
and we were making a big deal out of it, but six, that's a lot.
I would check Jedi Goodman's Twitter for that.
Okay.
That guy's got all the stats on
If not Jedi, get it for us, will you?
Yeah. Luke, you were able to stay awake for this whole show, so I'm happy.
You did it.
You smelt the microphone a few times. What'd you pick up?
Meth. Amphetamine.
I was ready to catch you, man, if you fell. That's all right.
Nose beers. A lot of nose beers going on.
Yeah, the staff, the setup staff,
Just seeing my life flash before my eyes. 44 has been great. It's been great.
You've had a great run. We did say, Luke, as a tribute to Owen Hart, that if you did Paris during this, we would finish the show. The show would go on. But
I understand, yes.
But I guess that'll do it for UFC 293 and this incredible breakdown of men acting like men.
I do want to go to Australia.
And being
I hear it's wonderful.
Got to get over there.
Now, that's that flight, though.
Fuck that flight. That flight is the biggest.
What would you do on that flight?
Could you do that, coach?
I would have to take
You couldn't do that, coach.
I mean, how do you do that sober? That seems like a horrible idea.
You'd have to get drunk twice, though. It's like 15 hours from L.A.
I would bring a lot of edibles. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Chuck, you're from Colorado, yes. as they say, yeah. so you should know a lot about edibles. You know?
Edibles, yes. We're fluent in edibles out there.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Your old grandpa, Charlie Mindenhall the first.
Dude, I want you to break out the old gummy bear.
Yeah.
In 2014, I did a Glory show as a sideline reporter, and it was my first time in Denver where weed was legal, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go.
Wait, when was it? I remember
2014.
It was at the first bank
arena.
You had a great trip.
Dude, I, it was the first time I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go see this. It's going to be great. And I went in there and I bought just a chocolate bar. That's it. And the guy, I was like, how much do I take? He's like, just one block. And I tasted it. I'm like, well, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Oh, no. One of these.
So things. I had I don't think I had the whole thing, but I had most of it. And then I went to bed and I woke up like 12 hours later and I called my wife and I was still high as shit, dude. High as shit.
Wait, was that in Broomfield? Like, near.
Yes.
I remember seeing you
at First Bank Arena. First Bank Arena.
Yeah. Was he on that fight or was it the next one? He actually fought there.
He was not one of the main attractions.
I think he might have been.
Do you guys want to close with like impromptu doo-wop karaoke type? Like, we'll play different parts.
Did I tell you that the lead guitarist of Cannibal Corpse reached out?
Come on.
Yeah.
This is
a true story. I told it on MK. The long story short is I kind of made a joke on the live stream for Spence Crawford. And that one of the lead guitarist, Eric Rutan, was watching and then shot me an email.
Get out.
And then I showed him all the times I've like been to concerts and shit. He invited me backstage when they come back around.
God. You guys and your rock connections, I love.
Yeah, How great is this?
You have great connections. favorite bands, Chuck, just shout them out, okay? Yeah. Start with Ringo, okay? Maybe we'll get them on there.
Yeah. I'm seeing Pantera in a couple of weeks. I'm pretty excited about that.
Or what's left of them, Luke.
Yeah, there's only two that are actually part
of the
band.
That's not a joke. That's accurate.
Yeah, no, the drummer got murdered and on stage, and so did the guitarist.
Matt Brown was there for at least.
No, wait, the guitarist got
some dark matter down the stretch.
All right, we'll see if this makes the final cut. But
15 minutes
until then. For that was Luke Thomas on the far end. That was sleepy, right? Yeah, this is bashful over here, Chuck Minn and all. Yeah, be your boy, BC. Chuck, we can find your work all over the place. The Ringer.
Yes.
Ariel Helwani's.
Ariel Helwani, your new working partner over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we do the Ringer show after every pay-per-view and every Thursday, basically. Now it's kind of Wednesdays or Thursdays, but we do a preview show.
Does that C on your hat stand for Connecticut or
Connecticut? Kind of like, well, Cuck. It's interpretable, Brian. But
it's interpretable. All right. Chuck will be at the Laugh Factory. He's got a hard five.
Connecticut is a shithole.
He's got a harder five than McGregor at the weigh-in. You know what I mean? Yeah, okay.
Trumbull, Connecticut sucks.
This is probably where we're going to end it right here. Maybe even the relationship of those standing at the moment. But, you know, we had a
good
run.
You're holding it like you're doing a comedy show. All right. Yeah.
Dude, finish it all.
Love and hate, get it wrong, just cut me right back down to size. Yeah. I really don't want to come back down from this cloud, but we're out of here, okay? I mean, just
take it.